Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So, I heard you guys had a nice service last week. Good music, good everything. Good. Yeah, we were all up in beautiful Capon Springs. That was really great. We had a really good time up there. Yeah. So anyway, we're continuing with this concept called the metaphysical mechanics for living an abundant life. And we, up in Capon, we were talking more about this idea that abundance is our divine inheritance. How do we claim it? You know, how do we get to that state of mind where we realize that we are in the flow all the time with that which Spirit has for us? And this idea of metaphysical mechanics, again, I think this is a third lesson, fourth lesson. I don't remember how many I'm at in this. But in this process, you know, I'm always trying to figure out, you know, what makes things click. You know, like we'll say, for example, we believe in God. And, you know, we have faith in God. And last week we saw in Capon, we saw the movie An Interview with God. And everybody was really impressed with that movie because this interview with God, you know, is a news guy. And he sits down with God and he says, could you say your name? And he says, God, G-O-D, right? Right. But what was fascinating about the movie was he explained this concept of having faith. You know, we all say we have faith. But there's a whole different dynamic between saying I have faith and the implementation of that concept within every aspect of your life. And that's what the movie was about, you know, that we're all saying this. You know, we believe in God, we have faith in God. But the real proof in the pudding, so to speak, in terms of belief and faith is the consistency with which we can remain centered in the concept or the consciousness of Spirit in the midst of crisis, in the midst of turmoil. In other words, the proof is how steadfastly can we believe in Christ when we're in the midst of crisis. And this whole idea of, you know, the metaphysical mechanics of abundance kicks in when we're able to remain Christ-centered in the midst of crisis. Let me say that again. The metaphysical mechanics of abundance kicks in when we're able to remain Christ-centered in the midst of crisis, all right? And that's the whole idea is, you know, stuff is happening, how does this process kick in? You know, how does this spiritual process unfold? Now, after a while, when you're in the groove, you know how it unfolds. You know, it's just a process, it's a mindset that you're in all the time. But the more centered you are, the more prosperous you're destined to become, with prosperity being measured in the totality of a sense of well-being and peacefulness in all aspects of your life. So when we're talking about prosperity, we're not just talking about, you know, material things. We're talking about just this, you wake up in the morning and you go, life is good. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, and a lot of times we'll say life is good when good stuff is happening. But it's able to say life is good no matter what is happening. That's sort of the idea of remaining in that state. So material wealth and possessions usually come to our mind first when we think of this idea of being prosperous. Then the movie we watched, how many people saw the Kevin Hart movie? The Upside. Oh, if you haven't seen that movie. You know, Kevin Hart can really be ridiculous, but this is a whole different role for him. It's a true story about him as he was a gangbanger on parole and basically ends up getting a job taking care of a very wealthy person who's paraplegic. He's in a wheelchair. And he said, but he said to the guy, you know, are you wealthier than Jay-Z? He goes, oh, yeah, a lot more. Right? And so that's what we think of as prosperity. You know, how wealthy can you be? I think he had a penthouse in Manhattan. You know how expensive that is, with servants and everything. You know, and Kevin Hart, who's, you know, came out of the ghetto, is just blown away by all of this. You know, how much money can a person have? So, I mean, so I'm getting at is that's what we think of when we think of prosperous, is we have a lot of stuff, you know. And yes, material wealth and possessions are good. They're a wonderful thing. However, I don't know about you, but have there ever been times when you felt materially prosperous but spiritually and emotionally poor. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. And there have also been times when I have felt materially and financially broke, but a rich sense of God being in my life was still there. I still felt spiritually wealthy, even when we didn't have anything. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, and if I had a choice between the two, being materially rich but spiritually poor, or being materially low in resources but spiritually rich, I would choose the latter every time, okay? And the reason being is because it has been my experience that when you're feeling spiritually rich, you do not stay materially poor very long, okay? Because your consciousness is tapped into the source. And that's because your mind, again, is open and receptive to the rich abundance of prosperous ideas flowing into you from your indwelling spirit. Now, those abundant ideas are always flowing into us, but if we're feeling materially poor, we can't contemplate what to do with them. Does that make sense? Okay. So, but when you're, you know, materially rich and spiritually poor, you're usually a little fearful, too. You got a lot of stuff, but you're afraid you're going to lose it. Right, because you know you're attaching it to I have this because of, and you're pointing to some external dynamic, and quite often the fear is causes you to shut down the abundant flow of prosperous ideas that would keep coming to you, so that you always would be bringing in that prosperity. Okay, in addition, fear can cause you to shut down the abundant flow of loving, healing energy that will assure you that your health and well-being is divinely protected. For many of us, that's an important idea, okay? And that's the one main problem with feeling spiritually poor, is that you're disconnecting yourself from all that spirit has for you. And being spiritually poor also is not remembering that you're living in the prosperous life that is your right of consciousness. It is your divine right to live prosperously. Again, prosperity means a whole lot of different things to different people. When we went to Alaska and we went into the bush, so to speak, there were people who left a very wealthy life here to move into a community where they call dry cabins. I mean, there's no water in the cabins. If they want to eat, they got to go out and kill it. I mean, literally. And they pointed out that whole community over there of log cabins, those are people who used to live, they call us the lower 48. You know, they lived in the lower 48, and they got tired of this rat race to keep all of the wealth, to get the wealth and then try to keep it. And they just gave it all up and moved to the wilderness. Now, most of us are like, oh, no. You mean I got, 64 degrees below zero, I got to get up in the middle of the night to go out to the outhouse to go to the bathroom? Nah. But, but you get the concept, but here it's like a rat race. We're always trying to get more, all right? And from a, metaphysical perspective, whatever prosperity we have experienced in our lives, whatever that means to you, did not come specifically from our job or that we made good financial investments. You know, it wasn't a booming economy. It wasn't luck. It wasn't chance. It wasn't being in the right place at the right time. It wasn't because of him or her. It was because of you and I, we were trudging along, trying to figure out what we're going to do to make good things happen in our lives, and the Holy Spirit was right there every moment that we were going along, right there in our hearts, supporting our emotions, shoring up our courage, breathing faith into our thinking and feeling, and giving us the strength to believe in ourselves and to step out there and take a chance to do what is necessary to bring good things into our life. And that's the whole thing. And yes, we might say, well, it's because I made the right investment at the right time, or I did this, or I did that. But all those things happen because Spirit was constantly talking to you. This divine process was constantly unfolding inside of us. And if we had a penny for every time we ignored that inner calling to do something, we would be infinitely wealthy. Okay? And if you think about it, at some level, we did what we did to improve our lot in life because it raised our self-esteem, our self-worth, and our self-confidence. And it made us feel more secure with our ability to make good things happen. Okay? And if you're real honest with ourselves, a lot of what we did in our lives that kind of make our lives better. We did it because it makes us feel good about ourselves and look good to others. You know, at the college, I see one of my colleagues out there, they love to say, I am Dr. So-and-so. Because of what? It makes you look good to others. You get what I'm saying? I'm a lawyer. I'm a dentist. I'm a this. You know, we say these things because it makes us look good to others. It makes us feel good inside as well as look good to others. And this doesn't mean that the concept is, you know, as all of our lives, looking good has been extremely important to us, looking good, you know, to our parents, looking good to our teachers, looking good to our ministers, our friends, our colleagues, our coworkers, team members, all looking good to others was extremely important to us. But there's another side to the process that we're starting to learn right now that is not so much about how do I look to you, but how do I look to spirit within me, okay? It doesn't now, you know, the key is, do I look good to God? Now, when I say, do I look good to God, you got to understand that this doesn't mean that there is a God watching over us and judging us. All right? That's the kind of thing that really, as Christians, we got to get out of our heads. You know, if I'm good, God is going to reward me. If I'm bad, God is going to, you know, punish me. You know, that's Old Testament stuff. It's also, you know, if you hear me say it 1,000 times, is that's not God, that's Santa Claus. You know, and that's what we want to get away from, is that concept. So I use a phrase, look good to God, merely as a metaphor to refer to the divine process that's working inside of us. So again, remember, there's no anthropomorphic being that is watching and judging what you're doing. Let me say that one more time. There is no anthropomorphic being up there that's watching you and judging you in terms of what you're doing or not doing. Okay? When you're feeling spiritually poor, that inner sense of poverty has a great negative impact on the divine substance that's going on within you. So this idea of when things are going on inside of you that you don't feel good about, you don't, you know, you're not, you tell yourself, you know, I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that whole mentality is creating a spiritual poverty inside of you. And what's happening is that it has an impact on the divine substance within you that could eventually become out and experiences as an experience in your life. So this idea of if I'm not feeling good inside, then that not feeling good is somehow going to show up outside. Is that making sense? Okay. And so, but being spiritually rich, on the other hand, however, brings a sense of abundance to your whole life that's incomparable to any form of material wealth. So spiritual richness is the millionaire. The guy says to the guy, when did you become a millionaire? He said, I was a millionaire when I was sleeping on park benches and had nothing because I had it all inside here. All right. And eventually, even though I was sleeping on a park bench, my consciousness brought me to the place where I am now. All right. And again, you got to watch that movie with Kevin Hart because what happened was, you know, he's on parole. He's a, you know, he's a gangster, and he comes in to do an interview to be this guy's, what they call him, health. Yeah, as a caregiver to this person. There was all these other people who looked like they could do it much better than him. You know, he looked like a gangster, but when the paraplegic saw him, he said, that's the one I want. There was some connection there. You know, so even though Kevin Hart might have been at that point spiritually poor, there was something inside of him that guy saw that created that energy. So the key here is, you know, we always want to see what is going on inside of me. It's not so much what is happening outside of me, but what's going on inside of me. Am I spiritually rich? And spiritual richness brings a whole new sense of life to your life. And being spiritually rich is another way of saying being prayed up. How many people know that term, being prayed up? Okay. If you don't know that term, it means, you know, you're doing what needs to be done to constantly keep your prayer work going, all right? And prayer work keeps you God-centered. It keeps you Christ-centered. Then when crisis strikes, you're able to remain at peace because you know that God is in charge and all these things are going to work out, not only for me, but for everybody involved. And that's the other thing, too, when you say to yourself, I think in Capon we were talking about, how do you know when the thought that comes to you is a good thought? Is when not only is the good going to work out for you, but you're also seeing the good work out for everybody else involved. Okay? We don't want to be self-centered and working with God thought. All right? God thought is to be shared with everybody. So continuous prayer work leads to a spiritual prosperity, which in turn leads to material prosperity, and prayer work is more than just what we think it is. It's not just sitting down to pray. Okay, prayer work includes a continuous commitment to all the spiritual practices we talk about all the time. You're doing prayer work when you come here to worship with other people who are of like mind and on a similar path. Coming here to worship is like going to the gas station to get refueled. It's like putting your cell phone in to get recharged. Because life does what? It wears us down. Okay, and if you read in scripture, Jesus often, after he was with a large crowd, he would go off by himself because he needed to be recharged. Okay, so that's sort of the idea. You're also doing prayer work when you give up your time and talent and service to your spiritual home, the place where you get your spiritual food from. You're doing prayer work when you are willingly tithing of your financial resources to your spiritual home, the place where you get your spiritual food from. But as we talked about in last week when we were up in Capon Springs, tithing also means that you are letting the good that comes to you flow out to those who seem to be in need. So, you know, you pass the person up there by Giant or BJ's or, you know, places where they're asking for something, you know, you just give it. Okay, you don't say, oh, yeah, I'm probably going to take this and do that. You know, you make up what he's going to do with the money. You just give it. I went into Giant the other day, and they weren't asking for money. It was a group for helping mothers and children who I guess were struggling one way or another. And they said, could you just, you know, buy something extra and give it to us when you come out, you know? So I came out and I said, well, this is Kashi cereal. I hope they eat the healthy stuff, you know, right? But, you know, I saw people just walking past them. But that was a simple thing. You go in, you buy something extra, and you just give us that can of soup. I don't care what it is. Just give it to us when you come out so we can help, you know, the mothers and children. But that's being in the flow of the process. I told a story about how I was coming out of Giant, and there was I was daydreaming, and I caught them as I was passing them. There was a family, mother, father, and kids, and they were asking for money. I was in the alpha state. We went through detail about being in beta, alpha, theta, delta last weekend. And I was in the alpha state. I really saw them, but I didn't see them. So I drove out of the parking lot, got on 301, had to make a U-turn, come all the way back around so I could give them something. Because my spirit said, you missed that opportunity. Okay? So that's all part of the idea of tithing, that you're letting your good flow from you. You know, there's positive proof among us here that if you're committed to a life of prayer and all that that way of life entails, you change your life and you change it significantly. All right? But you want to dedicate yourself to this life of prayer. So you say, when do I pray? You are praying when? All the time. Jesus said, pray unceasingly. You know, because stuff is always going to be trying to take your mind in a different direction. So you're always in this prayer mode. You're always in this alpha state. And who was there last? Who was there last weekend? Okay, we talked about being in Capon. Yeah, and we talked about being in this alpha state. We went into detail about that idea of being in the alpha state, that state of mind that's putting you closer to being connected with spirit. And actually, the delta state of mind, which is the lowest vibration of mind, is a lot of times it's called coma, but coma is where you actually have direct access to spirit. Because at that level, all that's out here is gone. All right? Now, everyone in this room, when you go to sleep at night, you do go from beta, alpha, theta to delta. You do go into a coma state for a very short period of time, and then you come back up to theta, which is rapid eye movement. But advanced yogis, advanced meditators, can purposely go into that delta state. All right? They can take themselves down there, and they're still, you ever had a meditation where you went into this place and you came out and you go, man, that was awesome. I want to get back there. Where was there? Right? Okay? But an advanced meditator can get into that state where you have that direct connection with spirit. Okay? So the key here is, you know, you say, well, how am I going to do that? Right away, you're going to run out and say, okay, I'm going to work on getting into delta. It ain't going to happen like that. First, you got to work on getting into alpha on purpose. All right? Just an awareness that you and spirit are one. Right? And Jesus warned us about this thing called praying amiss. Right? Meaning going through the motions of the prayer life, but without allowing yourself to be changed by the prayer process. So the key to prayer is to change by the prayer process. So when I'm sitting here, before I get up here, I say, Father, into thy hands, I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body. And I say, use me as you would to be used. Heal me, guide me, mold me, use me in your way. Because I have a script here Clover, the reason why I have a script is because if I don't have a script, Clover trained the guy who did the kid who did the speech at the graduation. And she did a great job. This young man, he's from Cameroon, right? Cameroon. He was excellent. And she said, look, he's got a script, but he's not reading it because I trained him. You know, and he was brilliant. The kid was brilliant. I have a script here because if I don't, I will go off into a tangent and never know where to come back to, right? Right, but this idea of praying amiss is that you're praying, but you're not letting it change you at all. You're going into prayer one way, and you're coming out of prayer the exact same way. The idea is this idea of, you know, lead me, guide me, form me, lead me in your way, Spirit. Yes, this is how I would like for it to happen, but I don't know if this is the way it really needs to happen. You get what I'm saying? All right. So you're totally open to the process. So praying amiss, it means you're going through the motions, but nothing is happening. This is what Jesus said about this. It's kind of harsh. He was talking to the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees were like, he said, this is Matthew 23:25. He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be people of righteousness, but in the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Sometimes you want to say, Jesus, lighten up a little bit, you know, right? Right? I got it in the first couple of sentences. Right? But the thing about Jesus' message was it would cut right to the chase. You know, he didn't beat around the bush. He got right to what it is he wanted you to understand. And in prosperity, as we are exploring it, it's a metaphysical process. Okay? It is a kingdom of heaven or to kingdom of earth process. A kingdom of heaven to kingdom of earth process. It is quantum to physical. Remember, we talked the virtual realm, which is God, okay? But God is pure, infinite potentiality. Where is the virtual realm? Well, Paul said, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. So we are in the virtual realm. We are in God. We're the fish in the ocean, all right, swimming in that which God is. The quantum realm is our mind. So our mind is taking in this infinite potentiality all around us, but it enters into us according to the cookie cutter mold in our mind. The cookie cutter mold is, what are you thinking? You get it? And it doesn't say, oh, that's an ugly thought, I'm not coming in. It comes into whatever you're thinking. And then the physical realm is that quantum realm, but then express it in your life. That's why you need to keep your mind always focused on what you want and not what you don't want. All right? And so the key here is that the metaphysical process is always unfolding. Simply, it's an inside-out job. It's a inner world to outer world process. It's always happening. Your thoughts are always creating. My thoughts are prayers, and I am always praying, which means I'm always also creating. And the unique thing in the beginning of the process of enlightenment, you discover that your inner world is really all that really matters. So as you become more enlightened, you start to say, you know what? What's going on inside of me is way more important than what's going on outside of me. Why? Because your inner world is the cause of the effect of the experiences in your life. So how do we get our inner world in order? All right? Because you just can't say to yourself, I'm not going to think negative anymore. That just doesn't work. All right? So Jesus said, you concentrate on cleaning the inside of the cup by wiping it clean. And wiping it clean means wiping it of the thoughts that are robbing you of your joy. Did everybody catch that? How do I clean my inner world? By wiping my mind free of the thoughts that are robbing me of my joy. And we know that. You know, we can be sitting around and you slip into that alpha state and you're going, something, you know, something in your life, something out here pressed a button of something that's that was going on inside of you, not consciously, but subconsciously. And that button got pushed and all of a sudden that stuff comes up and you're remembering it and you're going through all of those lower level thought processes, shame, guilt, blame, anger, frustration. You got to catch yourself and say, that's not what I want to be thinking about now. Right, and do what you need to do in order to change that. Whatever it's, you love to dance, you like to work in the garden, you want to go on a long run. You follow what I'm saying? Whatever it is you need to do in order to change that. So in the revealing word, the book we use for defined words, it says, the cup is defined as a consciousness of eternal life. The cup is defined as a consciousness of eternal life, meaning simply that you are conscious of the eternal life that underlies the good you receive in your life. So when you understand the cup, you know that whatever goes into that cup is going to create an eternal process that's happening inside of you. You know, it's whatever you are. You know, are you worried about whether or not you are good or not good, or whether your good is going to last or not last? You say, I got good now in my life, but is it going to last? How many people are going through that? You know, oh, things are going good now, but it's going to last. Am I going to be able to okay when I retire? I know there's a lot of folks in here thinking about that, right? It's all of those kinds of thoughts that you got to be, you know, you have to say, no, I don't want to worry about if it's going to be when I retire. I want to know that it's going to be okay, okay? And how often have you heard the fear, how often have you feared that the good you're experiencing might not last, whether it's your job or your finances or your retirement and your health, your relationship, whatever. Have you thought about that? Is this going to last? Okay. Well, any thought where you're wondering if your present experience of prosperity will last is a clear indication you're not cleaning the inside of the cup. See, the worry is what's cluttering up the inside of the cup. Okay. Meaning you're not maintaining a conscious awareness of the internal nature of God in your life. So yes, this thing out here where my good is coming from, that may go away. But it does not affect the internal understanding I have of God in my life, that God is in charge of my life. So think about it. Thoughts of lack, scarcity, limitation, failure, shortage, loss, prosperity, illness, insufficiency of any nature is an indication you're not aware of the eternal nature of God in your life. Did that make practical sense? Okay. Now, when you feel internally prosperous in your relationship with your Holy Spirit, your whole life feels prosperous, and it feels prosperous from the standpoint of eternal prosperity being always in your life, always good. This, where I'm getting it from now, may go away, but it doesn't matter because of my mind, I will create something over here. It's a constant process of it unfolding. Now, what many of us may be affirming without knowing it is God is a source of my supply now. But how long will that last? Now, I know we all know the affirmation, God is a source of my supply. But is there an undertone of God is a source of my supply now? And we're really not talking about God. We're talking about some form of prosperity out here that's coming to us. Is that making sense? Okay. So we have to understand that God has been, is now, and forever will be the source of our supply. You got to get in your head, though, that it's not some anthropomorphic thinking being that's saying, I'm going to keep taking care of you. There's this idea, this unified field that we're living in, that's always taking care of us, okay? Not because it's deciding to take care of us, it's because it can't help itself. You get what I'm saying? The invisible always wants to come out and be manifest in the visible. So this invisible realm that we live in always wants to become visible, and it wants to become visible in terms of what you want it to be, because it cannot do it on its own. It only can do for you what you allow it to do through you. Okay? So whether or not we believe this statement can be determined by how much we fear what the future holds for us. However, it's very difficult, maybe even impossible, to maintain a consciousness that believes in the eternal nature of God's abundance when the inside of the cup has been neglected. If you're not doing the prayer process, it's not going to work. Okay? Or let me take that back. Can I take that back? You're always doing the prayer process, but you got to ask yourself, what am I praying for? All right? So if you get that into your mind, I'm always praying, but what am I praying for? And as Jesus said to Pilate, you know, you may look good on the outside, but this is irrelevant if inside is full of hypocrisy. Okay? I remember what he said to the Pharisees. Or we might say we look good on the outside, but inside we are in physical, emotional pain. We're in fear. We're in worry. We're in doubt. We're in some form of poverty-producing internal turmoil. Okay? So the key here is, remember, this is never about condemnation. It's about realization. So if you're struggling with stuff in your life right now, I'm not saying to you, you're going to be able to just say, I'm going to stop struggling with that. Because that's not going to happen. But it's at least being awake to the fact that I'm struggling with this, and this is having a negative effect on the outcome I'm looking for. Does that make sense? So it's like when you're talking about a meditator, a good strong meditator, can tell you, it's not that I'm not thinking, it's that I'm no longer wrapped up in my thoughts. All right? The thoughts are still going, but they're just going by, and I'm just watching them like I'm watching TV. So you have to get to we want to get to the point where the stuff that we're struggling with inside, it's still there, but we're not of it. Does that make sense? All right? So I'm willing to bet that almost every one of us has some sort of poverty-producing internal turmoil going on right now. And again, that's not condemnation. It's just realization. And this is so, you know, if this is so, it's time for each of us to start cleaning the inside of our cup and bring ourselves to a closer understanding of the whole idea of the eternal life, the abundance of God that's within us. This realization that God's abundance can never end will create an internal life awareness of abundance in our consciousness, causing our inner life to become stronger than our outer life. That is what we're striving for. Okay? So I almost wish this was a class where I could ask you how you're feeling right now. You know what I'm saying? And you got to understand, I'm writing this stuff not for you. I'm writing it because this is what I'm consciously working on with me. You follow me? I mean, this is a thought. You can't write stuff like this unless you're going through it yourself. All right? But I'm going through it from a standpoint now of this metaphysical mechanics of the abundant life. I'm looking at the process that I'm going through inside myself, and I'm trying to figure out how do I work this out? You know, what are the dynamics, the mechanics of working this out? I mean, just before I came in here, when I had a few minutes, I was watching, I have the Canon 5D Mark IV, which is a very complicated camera, and just before I came in here, I was watching a video on how to use a focusing system on a 5D Mark IV. Because there was a guy who was explaining the complexity of this camera, and I was just sitting there watching. Patty, I tell you, she said, what are you watching? I said, I'm trying to understand how to use the focusing mechanism in this camera. So what I'm saying is that my mind works with the mechanics. You know, just don't tell me have faith. I want to know the mechanics of faith, all right? You know, so when I'm in a difficult situation, I know how to apply those mechanics. I'm just not sitting there going, I'm having faith, I'm going to have faith. We know that doesn't work. But if you understand the mechanics of it, and you work on the mechanics before you get there, so with my camera, before I go to shoot an event where there's a lot of moving parts, I want to know, boom, I got it. Right, Robert? Right? You got it. You know why? Because I practiced with it before I went out there. So knowing the mechanics of faith, the mechanics of living the abundant life, I practice with it before I get there, so when the stuff starts jumping, I'm ready for it. Does that make sense? All right? This is practical Christianity. I don't know if you know, that's what unity is called. Practical Christianity, which means you have to what? Practice the process and make it work. All right? So I'm going to end with this. Prayer may sound... The idea of prayer sometimes can sound submissive. You're giving yourself to the process. You know, you're like in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, that sounds like you're being submissive, all right? But I can guarantee you that the guidance you receive when you are submissive will lead you to the results that you want and give you the experiences in life that you want. So being submissive, and I'm trying to think of my favorite, Exodus 14:14. I'm trying to think, there's one where it says, do not be afraid, for I will take care of you. What you need to be is still. You get it? In other words, God said, don't be telling me how to do this. It's like Pam's father tells a story in Jamaica how the guy told him, he says, yeah, the guy robbed me. He came up and he took out a knife and he said, give me your wallet. And he said, okay. So he gave him his wallet. He says, now, what do you want? He says, what? He said, I got to cut you. He said, well, I gave you my wallet. Why you got to cut me? He goes, don't be telling me how to run my business. So the same thing with God. God is what want to say, you know, you're telling God, this is what I need you. God's like, don't be telling me how to run my business. All right? I know what you want because the Father knows what you want, what? Even before you ask. All right? So when you go to God in prayer, don't be telling God how to do his job or her job. Just be still. And I'm going to end with that. All right.